I see U.S. missions as the best secret that has yet to be told. This is something that has the potential to impact our nation. Our U.S. missionaries are basically untapped with their resources. They have the ability to just equip and mobilize and come alongside the local church to move outside of the four walls and begin to impact those right there in their community. And how? Through the local church, partnering with U.S. missions. There's nothing like the local church when the local church is working. We have the potential to impact our nation. What the Seven Windows will do is we'll facilitate, add value, and encourage replication, because this thing has to snowball. It has to grow if it's going to really impact the United States of America.
Well, is it well with you? Thank you. Thank you so much. Pastor, thank you for your hospitality. I've just had a great time with your pastor yesterday. He took me out and fed me, treated me well, and I had a great time with him. And so, amen. We got to see his bride this morning, Tammy. God bless you, my sister, and the congregation. He speaks well of you, and brought me to understand that you have more than his back. You have his heart. You have his heart, and that's totally different from having someone's back. But I bring you greetings from our general superintendent, Doug Clay. He is the man that I serve. I am in authority because I'm under authority. I'm under his authority, and so I represent him. And scripture makes that very clear to me. He has a powerful vision, and it's a God-sized vision. He wants to see a Pentecostal, Spirit-filled church in every community. In every community. Praise God. That's known for three things: Bible engagement, Spirit empowerment, and mission participation. And so I am here this morning to speak on that third leg, mission participation. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, as we access to you, you have promised me in your word that when I acknowledge you in all of my ways, that you would lead me, you would direct my path. And so, Lord, I asked, as I submit to you this morning and ask God that you would work in me. You would perform your will in me, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. God, my prayer is that you would give me access into the hearts of everyone that's at the sound of my voice, those here in the sanctuary and those online. I ask God that you would be glorified, that they would see you, they would hear you. And for this, Lord, we carefully give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to start in the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 18th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Genesis 18, 20 and 21. These are necessary. Genesis 18, 20 and 21, and this is what it reads. It says, "The Lord said, the outcry," and I just write, that word just captures me. "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, it's so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see what they have done, is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, then I will know. Then I will know." You know, the heart of God is missions. The heart of God is missions. If you were to put your ear to my chest or anyone's chest in here, you would hear their heart. It would more like a... You put your ear to the heart of God, and what you hear is people, 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 people. his heart for missions. His heart is for people. And so as we read the text this morning, those cries were generated because of abuse. Because of abuse. If we look again in this 19th chapter, verses 4 and 5, it says here, before addressing the angels and Lot, before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, don't miss that, all of the men from that city, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called out to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may have sex with them." Brothers and sisters, this is real. This is real. I know it's real because I have worked in human trafficking for 7 years. I've had the, I'm not even going to call it a privilege. I've had the responsibility to be at Super Bowl, and when you see when these young women are brought in by these pimps, and the list goes on and on, being trafficked. And we work with task force and the FBI to rescue. We only rescue a few. We only rescue a few. So many remain ensnared and trapped. It's a mission. It's a mission. And a lot of that just, it's, I didn't see that when I pastored Living Faith in Tampa, Florida. I wasn't a part of that. But now that I'm in U.S. missions, and that's one of the arms, it has awakened things in me, and it has increased my love and my passion for mission, because souls is what God wants. He wants souls. Our God knows the suffering. He knows it. He knows what happens in our cities throughout the United States, as in Abraham's day. And he wanted to speak into that community. He wanted to speak into that community. Because he told Abraham, if he found 10 who were righteous, he would spare that city. He would spare that city. God wants to speak into our communities as well, as he wanted to speak into this community. It was his mission. He says, I'm going to come down to see. I'm hearing the cries, but I want to come down and see if what I'm hearing is true. The Bible says that the ear that hears and the eyes that see, God has made them both. You see, what we hear one thing, and when we hear it, we see it. If I would say to you, I on the way here, the lady in front of me had a nice little Yorkie dog. It's a beautiful little dog. It was brown, and you're hearing it, but how many of you are seeing it? So Jesus heard, the Father heard, and he saw. He says, and it so impacted him. He says, I've got to go down and see. He wanted to speak into that community. But you know what? He needed a voice. He needed a voice. Our voice, my voice, your voice, it has a mission. And that mission is to declare the power of the cross of Calvary. Each one of us, brothers and sisters, for the word says, you and I, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he planned in advance for us to do. And so there's an assignment for each and every one of us. And God has given us the grace to complete it for the glory of his great name and for the advancement of his kingdom. Missions. Missions. Look. She look into the communities around our nations. God will give you the sensitivity to hear that cry coming from the broken, the disenfranchised, those who feel that they have no way of escape. They're trapped. They're trapped. And God wants to speak into those communities, but he needs a voice. He needs a voice. Remember John the Baptist? I've got scripture, but you know the story. Remember the Jewish leaders, they sent their men to, who is this guy? He's just come up on the scene and he's out baptizing. Find out who he is. And so they went to him and says, who are you? Who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, no, not Elijah. Are you the prophet? You one of the prophets? He says, no. Then tell us who you are. Tell us who you are so we can take an answer back to our leaders. And here's what he said. He says, I'm not Elijah, and I'm not one of the prophets. He says, I am a voice. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm not the one crying. I'm not the one crying. I'm giving voice to that cry. Hear me on that one, brothers and sisters. He says, I'm not the one crying. I'm giving voice to the cry. I'm giving voice to the cry. And I believe the cry of the Lord that John was giving voice to was that same cry of Rachel, who in her barrenness grasped hold to her husband Jacob, and she said, give me children lest I die. Can you feel her desperation? She wanted to reproduce something. God wants to reproduce something in you and I as souls are brought into his kingdom. There's a cry for souls. There's a cry for souls. But our Lord needs a voice to express his love. That's our mission. To express his love to the lost. For the Lord, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Brothers and sisters, your voice matters. Do you hear that? Your voice matters. The book of Acts tells us that Peter heard a voice. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. Remember, as he stood on the roof, kill and eat. Peter says, no, Lord, none of that's ever touched my mouth. And God's purpose was not to violate Peter's dietary belief. God wanted to speak into the household of Cornelius because he needed a voice. He needed Peter's voice. God needs your voice. He needs my voice. That's how he speaks into these communities. Bishop Tony Miller shares out of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 19. He says, where the scripture says, rather, behold, I do a new thing. You see, that new thing is a prepared thing whose time has come. Think about it. No, I'm not going to stand behind this podium and tell you, yeah, God created this pandemic. No. Oh, but God's capitalizing on it. Is it not a new thing? It's caught us all off guard. But this new thing, I believe, is a prepared thing whose time has come. Nothing catches God off guard. God declares, I declare the end from the beginning. And so with us, with God, he starts at the end, backs up to our beginning, and then he walks with us to that end because he knows where that end, when that end is going to end. But as he starts at that end and he backs up, he knows every situation that you and I are going to encounter, and he makes provision at that point. Then he backs up to the point that now we come into the world through birth. And as God walks in our lives, walks through our lives, do you know that God walks and is always wooing you before you accepted him? How many times have we been delivered out of things we have no idea? But God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. And there was a voice that came to you, be it through the radio, a loved one, His word, the prompting of God. I don't know how. God was always reaching out for you. But he needed a voice. How many of you heard a voice, a person or whatever? Let me see your hands. Yeah, it was a voice. Now God is calling you to be that voice. You see, in this if this pandemic has showed us anything, it has showed us that the overwhelming need of our Jerusalem. Huh? Of our Jerusalem. People in our Jerusalem are dying. And we've been given a mission. It's not a mission we're on. It's a mission God has called us to own. I think about the towers as the planes plowed into the one tower. And then later, it plowed into that second tower. The first tower collapsed. And just mass confusion, dust and everything, people running around, lives lost. And yet our fire department, the police officers, first responders, they're running into that second building after they saw how the first one collapsed. And what came to my mind is, how is it you're running into this building? You have no assurance whatsoever that it's not going to collapse like the first one did. But yet you run in there to save lives. And so what came to me is that they're not on a mission. They own the mission that they were on. And when you own the mission that you are on, death is not a deterrent. It was about saving people as God wants to save souls. So God wants us to own this, not just be on it, but to own it. Amen? Own it. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:20, and it says, here it is. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's the call upon each one of our lives. Who do we represent? We represent God. We honor him. It's him we serve. He's a quickening spirit, and he's given each one of us life. He's given each one of us life. And so we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Missions. Missions is more, brothers and sisters, than signing a pledge form and passing the responsibility on to others to declare the good news of the gospel. It's more than that. Missions is not a convention. It's not a sermon the opportunity that I get to preach. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Where I'm constantly looking for opportunities to speak, to be a voice. As we sat at the restaurant yesterday, a young lady came and served. Pastor began to share with her who he was and said, "We're going to pray for you." That was a voice. I don't know what she thought. She interacted with us. Oh, but she'll remember that. She said she was coming to the church. He was a voice. That's all God needs. Just a voice. A God bless you. I'm not saying you bring them to the cross. Some plant, others water. But it's God that brings the increase, but he wants a voice. Our mission is to partner with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in bringing in the harvest. Hallelujah. That's it. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our voice matters. If we say nothing, they perish. Aren't you glad someone said something to you? Follow me over to Isaiah. Isaiah, the 6th chapter. It says, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their face, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And as they were calling one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the sound of their voices, the posts and the threshing shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Now here is this next is coming from the prophet. The people knew him as a prophet. He knew he was a prophet. But when he came into the presence of God, he didn't see himself as a prophet. He said, woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with thongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sins atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Right there. I think that goes out to each one of us. Whom of us will he send? He wants it, because he wants to speak into the communities we live in. But he needs a voice, brothers and sisters. So whom shall I send, and who will go for us? You know this. You probably heard this preached many times. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell the people. Go and tell. It's not in our churches. It's not come and see. It's go and tell. You hear me? It's not come and see. You ought to come to our church. No, no, no. Not come and see. It's go and tell. That's scripture. Go and tell. You see, when we yield our voice, we have no way of knowing the impact it will have throughout eternity. When we yield our voice, that person, you might never see that person again, but God will drop that seed in their heart. He'll drop that seed in their heart. Acts 1:8, here's what it says. Actually, in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will be. There's not a question about that. You will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You'll be my witnesses. Our Jerusalem still matters. Our Jerusalem, right here in our nation, it still matters. You see, when he names the 4, it's not either or, it's all 4. It's not either or. It's all 4. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I like how the King James translates John 4:4. It's talking about Jesus and the disciples going into Samaria. The King James says, he must need go through Samaria. You know that story that the Jews and the Samaritans, they just didn't get along. The Samaritans to the Jews were like outcasts. They called them the dogs. It was a culture they wanted no part of. It was a culture they didn't understand. Something like our society today. There are cultures out there we just don't understand. And there's no desire to even want to know. Which it's like, hey, you stay on your side of the track, I'll stay on my side. As a matter of fact, it says that instead of going through Samaria, they would walk around Samaria. It took them a lot longer, but anything, I don't even want to touch the soil of the Samaritans. They despised them. There was an intense hatred. But Jesus, he was on a mission. The Father wanted to speak into Samaria, and he wanted to use the voice of his Son. And so what does it say? King James again. He must need go through Samaria. Wow, that was strong. It's like, I got to go through, I got to do this. And it wasn't just to meet the woman at the well. It was also to confront the prejudiced mindset of his disciples. He rocked their world by talking to the lady and then meeting with these people. Oh, God, do you not know who they are? He was on a mission, and his mission was to use his voice. And as a result, hundreds were saved. Hallelujah. Souls were brought into the kingdom. Those disenfranchised, those who weren't worthy, God saw them worthy. And he brought them into the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know the scripture, where there's no vision, how does it end? The people perish. If we don't have a vision for the modern day Samaritans in our neighborhoods, they'll perish. If we don't have a vision to meet them, they'll perish. I'm going to tell you a true story. And I know him. His name is Jerry Ratliff. Now, I'm not saying anything that he wouldn't appreciate. Jerry Ratliff decided not to walk around his Samaria, but he decided to walk through it. Because Jerry tells me the story that he recognized that God wanted to speak into the life of that Samaritan that lived in his modern day Samaria. So he says, I will no longer walk around it. I'm going to walk through it. And as he walked through that Samaria, he began to speak to this man. This man was just a reprobate. He was a man that wanted nothing to do with God. He didn't want you talking to him about God. But Jerry Ratliff knew that God wanted that man. He didn't know how that man was going to respond initially because of his hostility towards God. But he went nonetheless because he recognized, I have been called to use my voice. And so he went. He went. Jerry would go by. The man would just, he rejected him on the front end. But Jerry kept going. He kept going. He kept loving him. He didn't witness to him. Hear me, brothers and sisters. He wasn't witnessing to him. He was just going. And he was trying to enter into a relationship. And as he continued to do that, God began to soften that man's heart. Yeah. All God needs is a voice. God began to soften that man's heart. Let me tell you a little bit about that man. That man stopped his wife. My understanding is she got saved. Not through Jerry. I don't know. She got saved. And he so hated that. He so hated the change in her that he stopped her from going to church. He so hated the change in her that he said to her, I don't want to see a Bible in my house. He so hated the change in her. He says, I don't ever want to catch you praying. I want nothing to do with this God. Nothing. But Jerry Linda's voice. Jerry Linda's voice. I just found out lately, this is about maybe 5 months ago, that what that guy did is he found a Bible, he took that Bible, and he gave it to Jerry's wife and says, we don't want this in my house. And then the wife snuck it back to his wife. You wives, God bless you. Give it back to his wife. But Jerry kept lending his voice. And today, brothers and sisters, that man is preaching the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The very God that he wanted nothing to do with, he is now declaring him wherever God opens the door for him to preach the gospel. He is now using his voice to bring others into the kingdom of God. I am so passionate for missions. Missions is my passion. Let me tell you why missions is my passion. Because I was that man. Yeah. I was that man. Don't ever doubt what God can't do. The most hardest of hearts, the most criminal mind, the reprobates, is nothing more than a soul crying out to be loved and to be delivered from whatever has them enslaved. Missions went after me. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I said, I am grateful. It went after me through a voice. Who's to say that those in your next cubicle, those across the street, those in the neighborhood have not been assigned to you? And all they need is your voice. That's it. But this missions that God has you on, you need to own it. You need to own it. And you watch what God does. You watch what God does. Father, there's so much you have for us as a people. God, my prayer is that you would begin to awaken the ears of this congregation to the cries of those around them. I pray that the cries, Lord, that they hear would impact their lives as the cries that came up from Sodom and Gomorrah impact yours. But it impact yours to the point where you stepped out to do something. May it so impact them that they step out to serve. And Father, for this, we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you so much for that word. As I was listening, church, there are voices out there for economy and what you're supposed to do with your money. There's voices in the political realm. There's voices in the culture. We need voices of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our voice does matter. Our voice can make a difference. Your personal world needs you, and I appreciate the ownership, not just on a mission. You own the mission. Buy in, church. Because if we're going to make an impact, say, God, work in my life, that work is to also flow out of you. Amen? Amen. So we can do it. Amen? Well, listen, he prayed for us, and we're going to walk out of here, and we're about to enter the mission field. Amen? And we're ready, aren't we? Amen. So you have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you. Amen.